this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator. This is episode 16 of Art for Your Ear, and today I'm talking to LA-based photographer Max Wanger. His work is gorgeous, sun-drenched, happy, and his use of negative space is stunning. I'm actually a little bit nervous about this episode because I don't know Max. We met once quickly years ago, but that's it. But I guess that's the whole point, right? To actually get a chance to ask these contemporary artists about their behind-the-scenes stories before the edited version ends up in the art history books. So, nerves aside, calling LA to ask my questions. Hi, Max.
Hi.
Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Late one evening. Is your little boy in bed?
He is being read to as we speak.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I normally put him to bed, but Margot, my wife, is doing it tonight, so oh. I have some free time.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you even more then.
Oh yeah, no, of course. It's good to have a little break.
I know my husband is on bedtime duty tonight too, so that works out.
Okay.
But can you tell me how do you pronounce your last name?
Wanger.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, just in case, you know, I'm just doing it wrong. You know,
I really should change it to Wagner though.
You really should, because yeah. People email me all the time and tell me about Max Wanger, and I'm like, I don't think that's who they're talking about.
Well, I think 90% of the people think I'm a Wagner, so that's fine. Yeah.
Whatever works, as long as they're calling. Who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
Usually, so far on the podcast, I've interviewed people I've known quite well. There's a handful that I didn't know at all. You are one of those people. We met briefly in LA a few years ago because I had some of your gorgeous photographs in the show that I did at Fig House.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sort of met quickly there. And so I have so many questions.
Cool. I'm excited.
Okay. So first of all, I always put up a post on my site to show the work that we're talking about. So I will put up a bunch of your beautiful work. But I want to sort of know how you started. Did you actually go to school for photography, or was that something that you fell into another way? I just sort of want to hear your story.
Sure. Well, I am completely self-taught.
I did not know that. There we go. First thing.
Yeah. I've always loved photography. I feel like I've always, it's like in my bio, I think, since I was seven, seems like an age that I can remember, really taking an interest in photography. And ever since then, I've always loved it. It's always been a hobby. And over the years, it kind of progressed into sort of side work, and then it ultimately became full-time work. But yeah, I didn't go to school for it. I actually majored in American studies. I built my own major. I went to school in Northern California at Cal and designed my own major because I was so confused with what I wanted to do with my life. And after college, I got offered a job at Fox Sports, completely random. I mean, it was through a friend of a friend, and it was the first interview, and I went for the interview and they offered me the job and I took it. And so I started as a production assistant at Fox Sports. Wow. And I stayed there for almost 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
I worked my way up the ladder. It was a very creative department, but it was within a very corporate umbrella. And, you know, the first few years were exciting and everything was brand new and it was long hours, but you know, at that point in your life, you're willing to do anything and everything. So it was my life. And I spent many, many hours and many days and nights in cubicles and dark edit rooms, edit bays.
And was photography calling your name, or were you just so busy with what you were doing?
Photography was not in the picture at this point.
Hmm.
I grew up in a very creative family. And when I was little, I always imagine being some sort of artist or doing something in a creative field. So when I took this job, it's not necessarily what I thought I'd be doing, but I was happy that at least I was in a creative department around, you know, creative people. So in that sense, I think I sort of felt like I fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still just sort of like, you know, one of those things where I got really comfortable and you have a steady paycheck and you know, things are sort of taken care of. And mm-hmm.
And when you're busy like that too, in that age, I worked in an ad agency when I was that age, and we were working insane hours, but you kind of became friends with everyone you worked with, and they were all working insane hours. So your social life was sort of there.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were a lot of other young people there doing sort of the same thing. So, you know, it became family.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my way up. I became a senior producer and director, and produced commercials that promoted the sporting events that Fox carried, so baseball and the NFL and NASCAR. And so that was my life. And it wasn't until the last couple years where I really started to feel like I was getting burnt out, that this wasn't what I was meant to be doing, that, you know, I was sort of hungry for something else, but I didn't know how or what to do because I was so comfortable. So I was really unhappy those last couple years. And I think I stumbled upon some wedding photography blogs, again, completely sort of a random occurrence. And I was intrigued by it and thought that, I don't know, maybe it was something I could explore. I saw a couple photographers doing very different wedding photography that I didn't even know existed. I always imagined wedding photography as very traditional. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that there were people doing things that were sort of outside the box. And I saw a couple people doing it. And back then, the wedding world was very, very different than it is now.
What year was this? Do you remember?
Oh, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago. So, okay. Yeah, 2007, maybe.
Okay.
And anyway, I, long story short, I ended up leaving my job to pursue photography because it was something that had always made me happy. And I grew up with advice from my parents, always sort of telling me to follow my bliss. And this is where it really became particularly, it applied to this part of my life. Mm-hmm. Right? And I understood what that meant in that moment. You know, do what makes you happy, do what you love. And I wasn't happy and I wasn't loving what I was doing at Fox. So I decided to basically feet first, kind of jump into it. I staged a wedding. So again, going back to the whole wedding world, I saw some people doing the weddings differently and I thought, oh, maybe I can do this. This might be an interesting avenue. So I ended up staging a wedding. I was still at Fox at this time. So this was all during, you know, during the weekends. I staged a wedding with my sister, who was the bride, and her boyfriend's best friend was the groom. And we got a vintage dress at a vintage store, and we bought, you know, a $5 ring at Claire's from the mall. And we went to the park, and I took these portraits, kind of what I pictured in my head, you know, what I would want to do if I was photographing a wedding. And Margot, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she sent the pictures to a bunch of blogs, wedding blogs and design blogs and art blogs. We kind of narrowed down the field to these blogs that we thought would be really good to send to. So she sent those off, and within three weeks or about a month after the pictures were sent out, we were booked for the entire year for weddings.
Oh my word. Please tell me you have those photos somewhere that I can put in this post.
I do.
Yay! That is amazing. So I was going to ask, so when you took this jump and you decided to do this, so did you do this staged wedding and whatever before you quit your job?
I did. I thought I needed to at least, you know, test the waters.
Right.
I didn't want to leave and not have anything on the horizon. So I thought, let me try this. Let's see what happens. And so we tried it, and the response was so great. Everyone, you know, all the bloggers loved it, and they all posted about it. And within, I mean, we had no idea how any of this worked, but our email, our inbox was just flooded with people saying, can you photograph my engagement session? Can you photograph my wedding?
Oh, my God. So when did you quit your job?
I'm not sure how long after, but pretty soon after.
Yeah, because how could you do it? But you couldn't do everything.
Exactly. But, you know, the thing with weddings is that you always book them months or even a year in advance. So I still had some time, but really I thought, okay, well, I'd rather be doing this. So, I left and kind of jumped in and learned on the go. It was sort of the best way to learn. It's funny because I never intended to shoot weddings. I never wanted really to be a wedding photographer. And I still to this day don't consider myself one. I always tell people I'm a photographer who happens to shoot some weddings. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of how the photography full-time career kicked off. It started with the wedding work, and it kind of transitioned later on into commercial work. And, you know, to this day, I kind of balance both worlds. I do a handful of weddings and then I do commercial work. So, that's...
Which do you, is it more commercial work now?
I'd say it's half and half now.
It's a
good balance. It's one of those things with weddings. We can book those a year in advance and it's really hard to say no. Commercial work, you never know when that's going to happen. And it could be next week. It could be next month. It could be in 6 months. It's sort of like you kind of just never know when a job is going to come up. So that's the hard part. That's the hard game to play.
Well, you've got some good clients. Like, I wish somebody would send me to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because I was looking on your site. I'm going to put a whole bunch. Oh, I love Hawaii. So I love Hawaii tourism, Outrigger Resorts.
Yeah, that was a good one. Those were good ones.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And Bando is one of your clients.
Yeah. So Bando, interesting enough, with that test shoot that I did with my sister, they were just starting out as a company. And at that time, they made hair accessories solely, only hair accessories. And a lot of the hair accessories were meant for brides. Mm. So they were just starting out. Somehow we found out about them. I emailed and asked if I could use one for this test shoot. And they were happy to oblige. You know, they said, come by, pick one up. We'd love for you to use
it. Yeah, because you're both in L.A.
We're both in L.A.
Yeah.
So we picked one up and we used it in the shoot. And that's sort of how that relationship began. And they were thrilled with the images, too. You know, it showcased one of their products. And we built a relationship from there. And basically, ever since, I've been doing all their lookbooks. And they've grown so much as a company. So it's been fun to kind of be along for the ride.
Yeah, you're literally perfect for them. Like, you guys are such a great partnership. Every time I see something, I know that it's Bando and I know that it's you.
Well, thank you. I mean, Jen Gotch, who runs Bando, is sort of like my mentor. She's amazing and super, super creative and talented. And she's really given me the opportunity to find my way through a lot of, you know, editorial and commercial work because of Bando. And she just has such an amazing eye. So it's been really fun to work and collaborate with her over the years.
Oh yeah, it's so cool. She's so full of energy and you know, that comes across in the shots and the products and everything. It's so cool.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I was going to ask you, I actually featured her photographs in my book, Creative Block.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because that's how I found her. Like, I didn't find her through Bando. I didn't even know. I didn't even realize they were connected. I actually found her photographs first through, I don't know, I saw them somewhere and thought she was a photographer. And so I'd written a post about her and I actually asked if, you know, and I reached out and I said, can I feature you in this book? And she was like, okay. And then so in the interview, I was asking, you know, when did you first consider yourself an artist? And she's like, oh, I don't. And it's just so funny because she's just so insanely creative.
Yeah. I mean, and so, so talented in so many areas. And her Polaroids.
Yeah, that's what I featured.
Yeah. I mean, they're so amazing. They're beautiful. And I have a couple that I, you know, for a long time, I really wanted some. So finally she brought some to a shoot and said, here, choose. So yeah, that was really cool.
Oh my God.
She has so much talent, but I guess there was a point where she just wanted to focus on building Bando, and so the photography kind of took a seat. But her stuff's really, really beautiful.
Well, that actually leads me to my next question. I always do a little speed round of questions, either at the very beginning or the very end. Uh-huh. And I had planned to do them with you at the very beginning because we don't really know each other. And then I just got excited and started asking questions. So I forgot to do my speed round. But one of the questions in the speed round, let's just do the speed round.
Okay.
And I'll kick off with the question I was going to ask. What do you prefer, Polaroid or iPhone?
Wow.
Or can you answer that?
I can't. I think...
You love them equally?
I do, but today I would say iPhone because I use it so much and it's so easy and accessible. If you had asked me 2 years ago, I would have said Polaroid because I was shooting Polaroid so much. But as of right now, today, I'd say iPhone.
Okay, I'll ask you again in 2 years.
Okay.
Which celebrity would you love to photograph?
Pharrell.
Oh, that would be fun.
Pharrell would be cool, yeah.
I bet that'll happen. We'll make it happen.
I'm putting it out there.
There we go. It's out there. This made me think of this when you said that you were thinking about this when you were 7 years old. What was the first camera you ever owned, and how old were you?
Oh, well, I made my own camera when I was seven.
A pinhole camera?
No, I just kind of built one out of paper, and it didn't function, but, it was a paper camera.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
That was the first one. I don't know. It was maybe a Canon AE-1 or an old Canon that my parents had, I think, was the first camera I started shooting with.
Favorite snack food?
Favorite snack food? I love anything with peanut butter, so I make... I make toast with peanut butter and honey. That's a really...
That's healthy.
That's my favorite snack these days.
Wow, that's impressive. You don't even want to know what my favorite snack food is. and then best advice you've ever been given, was that your parents saying follow your bliss?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Okay, there, now I know. Because, yeah, I was thinking, I know that in your portfolio, you've got Polaroids, mm-hmm. and you also have iPhone, and I love them equally. And I was like, I wonder which he prefers to do.
Yeah, I mean, the Polaroids are so much fun, and the beauty is in the imperfections that you get. Right. And there's something really nice about shooting film like that because you really have to take your time in many ways. And in this day and age, that where everything's so fast, and with digital photography and even the iPhone where you can just snap away, there's something really wonderful about shooting film and Polaroids where you have to stop and think and compose, and mm-hmm. you're like, there's only 10 Polaroids in there, and you've got to make each one count. So
and it is kind of nice. The imperfection is really interesting too, because you can't control that.
You can't.
Which is kind of, I'm a major control freak. So that kind of thing is so nice when it's like, well, you know what? That wasn't up to me.
Right, right.
And you have to let go a little bit.
Yeah, and the Polaroids that end up being my favorites are the ones that have smudges, or something weird happens as it's coming out of the camera, or it develops in a weird way, or the colors are strange. I like, those end up being really cool and artistic and fun. So I love shooting Polaroids. I think the reason I said iPhone now is because, I have a little boy now who's 2.5, and just having my iPhone with me all the time, I'm able to photograph him and take videos. And it's just an amazing thing to be able to have, always at mm-hmm. my side. And the quality of photographs, it's so good these days. I forget to, bring my real camera, the cameras I shoot with. On jobs, if we're going on vacation or something, I don't take it out anymore, and sometimes I regret that. But the iPhone, it comes in handy.
It sure does, and it does the trick. That's for sure.
It does the trick, exactly.
So back to imperfections. One of your work, your final piece work, is far from imperfect. and I love your use of negative space is insane. I'm going to put up a bunch of those. There's so many of yours that are my favorites, like the ones with the feet in the air or your ice cream in the air. And I just saw one from that commercial shoot for, I think it was the Hawaiian tourism one, with somebody holding up a pineapple mm-hmm. drink in the, and it's mainly blue sky, and there's just this small colorful element in the corner. It's just absolutely stunning. And so obviously that's a choice that you're making. Mm-hmm. And so what is it about negative space that you love so much?
I think I've just been drawn to really simple imagery and things in general. I like It's pleasing to my eye. And I grew up going to Japan every summer. And I think
enough that, said.
Yeah, I think I've been influenced by Japan and the culture and the buildings and just the way of life there, which is very, very minimalist in many ways. I mean, Tokyo is crazy. It's hustle and bustle, but at the same time, you have these really quiet moments happening around you and things, and there's so much attention to detail there. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's definitely played a role in my love for the use of negative space. So,
Okay, here's a different kind of negative. I did not know that you were self-taught. Mm-hmm. And do you ever have, Lisa Congdon refers to it as imposter syndrome. Did you ever go through a phase where you felt like, oh God, I wasn't trained in this, or just any kind of, you know, worry that you weren't really a photographer?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there were definitely, when I was starting out, I just felt like I wasn't worthy and I wasn't up to par compared to other people in the business and people that I knew went to school for it and, you know, were trained professionally and
So did you just sort of fake it till you made it, like, or did you admit that to people, or did you just kind of keep that on the down low?
No, I was open with it. I mean, I didn't have a choice, really. Everything would just happen so fast that I had to learn on the go. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of photography is in how you see the world, that we all see the world differently. And I think that's all you really need. You don't necessarily have to have all the technical skills. You just need to know or trust your eye. And that's sort of what I've done. It's like I feel like I know I can get lost behind the lens, and I pretend like I'm seeing something that no one else is seeing. Hmm. I've always tried to color outside the lines. I've tried to think outside the box. I've always tried to do things my own way and not listen to what other people were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that served me well, because a lot of people would say that my compositions aren't technically correct, and that, you know, the way I frame things, it's not, you know, you don't teach that necessarily. And there's a lot of noise and chatter that can get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always tried to just keep my head down and not pay attention so much to all that stuff. And I think that's really helped. But yeah, of course, there in the beginning, I felt like, oh man, what am I doing? And I, you know, there's so much I have to learn. But
well, and I think that's the thing too, is having an eye, trusting that, but then also having the guts to go for it. And the gumption, you know, to know that you have to learn and to keep trying and to pushing boundaries and not quitting, and kind of the fake it till you make it thing, and just go, you know, put your head down and go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's self-doubt, but there's also that confidence, that quiet confidence that you have to have, where you know you're good enough, and where you know that, it, you know, if you work hard enough, you can do anything and anything. Mm-hmm. And I think I always felt that. I always felt like, you know what, I don't want to kind of coast along and be happy with just, I don't know, being in the middle. I, you know, I've always tried to figure out a way to kind of, how can I get to the top? How, you know, and I don't think you ever get there, because there's always somebody doing something, you know, that much better than you. But I think that's what pushes me. And that's like, you know, I want to continue to get, to a level, you know, as high of a level as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge. That's the everyday challenge. So
that's what makes life interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what do you think is next for you?
I don't know, a lot more of the same. It's a good healthy balance of weddings and commercial work. I'd love to focus on sort of the fine art part of my work, and I would love to have a gallery show. And
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, like your personal work. What do you consider your personal work? What kind of things do you?
A lot of what you see in my print shop is a lot of that's my personal work. A lot of the beach stuff and the ocean photography, and a lot of it comes from our travels. And I think that's definitely something I see in the future, continuing to travel. I think that's where I find a lot of inspiration. And
yeah, a lot of those ones are my favorites of yours. Have you had many fine art shows?
No, I really haven't had time to concentrate on that.
Okay, galleries. All the galleries that are listening, call Max.
I would love to do a show one day. And, you know, a dream 10, 20, 30 years down the line, I'd love to have my work in a museum one day. So.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure going to happen.
Well, I hope so. I'm putting it out there also. So
yeah. I already know. It's just you're so, so talented. And that actually surprises me. I totally thought that you would, because I know about your commercial work and everything, and it's stunning. But I thought for sure you'd had gallery shows. So, yes, it's out there now. Well, making it happen. We'll stage one. We'll get your sister in there.
There you go.
We'll get a ring from Claire's, and we'll stage a gallery show. And next thing you know, your schedule will be full.
There you go.
It's just as easy as that. Well, I think that's good. You might even have time to quickly go in and finish the story with your son.
I know. Well, I think I might take advantage of having a night off. As much as I love it, it's my favorite thing in the world. But having a little bit of time to kick back is nice. So
that's funny. Yeah, 2.5 is something, all right.
Yeah, it is. But it gets more and more fun.
Yeah. Well, my son's 9 now. So
is he?
Yeah. Which it's great, but it kind of breaks my heart that he's not 2.5 anymore.
It happens so fast.
It happens. I know, you know we're being such cliche parents, but it's true. It happens so fast, and enjoy every second.
I was just going to say, everyone says it, and you kind of go, yeah, but it's so true.
I know. I was just thinking, like, oh, he's so big and so old, but then when he's 14, I'll be like, remember when he was only 9?
Right,
so it's
right.
Like, I have to just enjoy every single minute, you know, because
yeah, I guess you kind of want to bottle every stage up. So.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Oh, wah, wah. Anyway, will you go and have your evening to yourself? I'm going to quickly go and say goodnight to mine.
Okay.
And thank you so much for doing this and telling me your story. And let's get you in a gallery in a museum in sooner than 20 years, I think.
Sounds good.
Okay. I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank
okay,
you.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Okay, both of our boys are probably asleep by now. And so, on to show planning. If you're on my site right now, thejealouscurator.com, you're looking at all of Max's gorgeous work. Yeah, this guy needs a gallery show. He made a paper camera when he was 7 for crying out loud. Thank you so much to Max for doing this with me. Thank you to you for listening, and I will be back with a new episode next Saturday. See you then.